شو حبيبي؟ السلام عليكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. وأسأل الله أن يوفقني ويوفقكم لما يحبه ويرضاه. في الحصة الماضية كنا قد تكلمنا عن حديث الجارية، وبينا أنه لا يعتمد على الرواية التي يذكرها الوهابية في إثبات عقيدة تخالف عقيدة أهل السنة، في إثبات عقيدتهم. In the past session we mentioned حديث الجارية. We talked about it and we mentioned that one cannot rely on the narration mentioned or chosen by the Wahhabis to support their ill claim. والحقيقة أن اعتقاد الوهابية فيه مماثلة، فيه إثبات مماثلة بين الله تعالى وبين خلقه. Truly or actually the creed of the Wahhabis means that there is similarity between Allah Ta'ala and the creation. لأن الوهابية واحد من اثنين. Because a Wahhabi is one of two people. إما يقول بأن الله مستقر على العرش. Either he says that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is established on Al-Arsh, touches Al-Arsh, sits on it. أو يقول بأن الله تعالى معلق فوق العرش. Or he says that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is suspended, is above Al-Arsh with a distance between him and Al-Arsh. وأي القولين قال فقد أثبت لله تبارك وتعالى الحد والحجم. Whichever saying he says, then he is attributing to Allah تبارك وتعالى the size and the limits. وجعل إذا قال الله جالس على العرش جعل الله مثلا لكل الأشياء التي تجلس على شيء. If he says that Allah sits on العرش, then he is claiming that Allah is similar to all the things that sit. وإذا قال بأنه فوق العرش فقد شبه الله بالشمس والسماء التي فوق رؤوسنا. If he says that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is above Al-Arsh with a distance between him and Al-Arsh, then he is likening Allah to the sun, to the sky, and other things that exist above us. بَلْ يَكُونُ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَدِيلًا مُسَاوِيًا لِلْكِتَابِ الَّذِي ذُكِرَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ أَنَّهُ فَوْقَ الْعَرْشِ. On top of that, by this, he would be saying that Allah is equal to the book which is above Al-Arsh, which exists above Al-Arsh. لأن الوهابية عندهم ارتفاع المسافة والعلو بالجهة على العرش صفة كمال. Because according to them, being above the throne, above Al-Arsh with a distance, this is an attribute of perfection. فعلى زعمهم يكون أيضا الكتاب متصفا بهذه الصفة. Then according to them, the tablet that exists above Al-Arsh would be attributed with this attribute. فعلى مقتضى كلامهم الله وهذا الكتاب متساويان. So according to what they say, Allah and this tablet are equal. Both, they are both above Al-Arsh with a distance. وقد جاء في الحديث أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم قال قال الله تعالى قال إن الله كتب كتابا فهو مرفوع فوق العرش وفي رواية موضوع كتب فيه إن رحمتي سبقت غضبي. معنى ابن حبان روى هذا الحديث، البخاري روى هذا الحديث وغيرهما، مروي بألفاظ متعددة كلها تفيد أن هذا الكتاب موجود فوق العرش ومكتوب فيه إن رحمتي سبقت غضبي، يعني سبقت أي غلبت، أي مظاهر الرحمة غلبت مظاهر الغضب، مظاهر العقاب. مثلا الجنة أكبر من النار بكثير، مثلا مظاهر الرحمة غلبت مظاهر الغضب، هذا معنى الكتاب المكتوب في الكتاب. البخاري ابن حبان narrated from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام that there is a tablet above Al-Arsh in which it is written إن رحمتي سبقت غضبي, which means the mercies of Allah are more, much abundant. More abundant than the signs of the punishment of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. This is the meaning of the statement. If someone translates it literally, this person might say, my mercy overcomes my punishment. But what it means that the signs of mercy that Allah created, the traces of the mercy are larger in number than the traces of punishment. For example, paradise is much bigger than hellfire. For example. فمن زعم أن الله موجود بذاته فوق العرش فقد جعله عديلا لهذا الكتاب. The one who claims that, وبعض الوهابية لما رأوا هذا الحديث عملوا شيئا مضحكا سخيفا مضحكا، قالوا فوق العرش، هذا الكتاب مذكور في الحديث أنه فوق العرش معناه تحت العرش، ما أعرف أي لغة يزعمون أنهم يتكلمون. Some Wahhabis said something very, very silly, and I don't know what to say about it. When they come across this hadith, and they knew where it would lead, they said, what is mentioned in this hadith that this tablet is فوق العرش. فوق means above in the Arabic language. Said, this term فوق here means under. Which does not, it does not make sense. In the Arabic language, you don't say فوق about what's under. I don't know what, which language they are claiming that they speak. Anyway. ثم على حسب اعتقادهم يلزم أن يكون الله محاذيا للعرش فيكون بقدر العرش أو أوسع أو أصغر. According to their claim, Allah has to be how do you say it? Adjacent or parallel to the arsh. And this entails that he would be either equal to the arsh or smaller or bigger. أَلَيْسَ هَكَذَا يَكُونَ فِي الْجِسْمَيْنِ الْمُتَحَاذِيَيْنِ. If you have two bodies, one facing another, or to a direction of the other, then one of them would be either equal to the other, or smaller, or bigger. Is that the case? وَمَهْمَا قَالُوا يَكُونُونَ قَدْ أَثْبَتُوا الْمِقْدَارَ لَهُ تَعَالَى. So then, whichever case is chosen, it entails claiming that Allah تبارك وتعالى has a quantity, a volume. وكل ما جرى عليه التقدير كل ما كان له مقدار حادث محتاج إلى من خصه بهذا المقدار. And everything that has a quantity or a volume is created because he needs someone, he or it needs someone who specified it with this volume. لأنه من حيث ذاته لا يلزم أن يكون على هذا الحجم ولا على حجم أصغر ولا على حجم أكبر. Because if itself is concerned, this does not entail for it to have this volume nor a volume smaller nor bigger. If itself is concerned, this does not entail necessarily to have this volume or smaller or bigger. فإذا اختص بحجم من بين الأحجام فهو محتاج إلى من خصه بذلك. If this thing occupies a specific volume, then it needs someone who specified it with this volume. الله تبارك وتعالى قال وكل شيء عنده بمقدار. معناه الله تعالى هو الذي خص كل شيء له مقدار بما هو عليه من المقدار. فلو كان الله له مقدار لكان مخصصا مثل باقي المقادير. الله تعالى said in سورة الرعد وكل شيء عنده بمقدار, which means everything that has a volume, every created thing, Allah is the one who specified it with its volume. This entails that if Allah had a volume, then He would need someone to specify Him with that, which is impossible. والعرش لا مناسبة بينه وبين الله كما أنه لا مناسبة بين الله وبين أي شيء آخر من خلقه. And there is no similarity, no proportionality, no proportionality between Allah Ta'ala and Al-Arsh. Just as this does not exist between Allah or any other created thing. المناسبة تكون بين متشابهين والله لا يشبه شيء. Proportionality exists between two similar matters. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not have anyone who is similar to it. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى مُتَّصِفٌ بِصِفَاتِ الْكَمَالِ مُتَّصِفٌ بِالْعَظَمَةِ أَزَلًا وَأَبَدًا. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is attributed with perfection, with perfect attributes. Eternally, He is attributed with these attributes. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is attributed to. And Allah Ta'ala is attributed with greatness eternally. فلا يتشرف سبحانه بشيء ليس شيء يجعله عظيما لا يحتاج إلى شيء يتشرف به سبحانه. And Allah does not need anything to be attributed with greatness. لا بالعرش ولا بغيره. Neither Al-Arsh nor any other thing. لو كان الجلوس على العرش صفة كمال كما يزعم الوهابية إذن فقبل جلوس الله عليه على زعمهم كان خاليا عن هذه الصفة قبل خلق العرش فكان ناقصا. Had it been an attribute of perfection to sit on Al-Arsh, as the Wahhabis claim, then according to them, before Allah creating Al-Arsh, Allah did not have one of His perfect attributes. So according to them, He was attributed with imperfection. وعلى زعمهم اكتسب هذه الصفة بعد خلق العرش. According to them, He acquired this attribute of perfection after creating العرش. فعلى زعمهم كان محتاجا للعرش لكماله. So according to them, He needed العرش to be perfect, to be attributed with perfect attributes. Allah Ta'ala yahfazuna min misli hazihi al-aqaid al-saqima. May Allah protect us from such ill creeds. وفي الحقيقة قول المشبهة الله جالس على العرش أو نحو ذلك شتم لله. In reality, saying that Allah sits on Al-Arsh or the like is cursing Allah, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. لأن القعود صفة البشر صفة الجن, صفة البهائم, because sitting is the attribute of the human beings, the jinn and animals. الإنسان يقعد, the human being sits. الجني يقعد, the jinni sits. سيدنا سليمان كان عنده في مجلسه مقاعد, أماكن لقعود الإنس وأماكن لقعود الجن. سيدنا سليمان in his session had specific places for human beings to sit and specific places for jinn to sit. Sitting is an attribute of the jinn also. البهيمة تقعد, the animal sits. الكلب يقعد, the dog sits. فالقول القرد يقعد, the ape sits. فالقول بأن الله قاعد على العرش وصف لله بصفة الإنسان والجن والقرد والكلب, وهذا ماذا يكون إلا شتما لله. So saying that Allah Ta'ala sits on العرش is attributing to Allah the attribute of the human being, the attribute of the jinn, the attribute of the dog, the attribute of the ape, and what would that be other than cursing Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Al-Qu'ud la yakun illa min shay' lahu juz'u a'la wa juz'u asfal wa yansani. Sitting does not occur except from something that has an upper part, lower part, and it bends. ووصف الله بذلك ما هو إلا تشبيه محض بالمخلوقين. Attributing such attributes to Allah تبارك وتعالى is a mere likening Allah to the creation. فوصف الله تعالى بأية صفة من صفات المخلوقين شتم له سبحانه. Attributing to Allah تبارك وتعالى any attribute among the attributes of the creation is in reality cursing Allah. أليس قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام إن عبدي شتمني ولم يكن له, قال الله تعالى شتمني عبدي ولم يكن له ذلك. ثم بين في الحديث أن الشتم هو نسبته الولد إلى الله. من قال الله له ولد هذا شتم له. لماذا شتم؟ لأنه نسب إلى الله صفة المخلوق. ومثله كل صفة, نسبة كل صفة مخلوق إلى الله عز وجل شتم لله. Isn't it mentioned in the hadith that the Prophet said, Allah said, شَتَمَنِي عَبْدِي وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ ذَلِكُ, which means my slave cursed me and he was not entitled to do so. Then this was explained in the hadith, the same hadith, that what is considered cursing Allah is attributing a child to Allah تبارك وتعالى. Why would that be considered cursing Allah? Because it includes attributing the attribute of the creation to Allah. And likewise, any claim which includes attributing the attribute of the creation to Allah is in reality cursing Allah تبارك وتعالى. لذلك قال الحافظ الفقيه اللغوي محمد مرتضى الزبيدي, من جعل الله تعالى مقدرا بمقدار فقد كفر. This is why the great Hafiz, the Hanafi faqih and linguist مرتضى الزبيدي said that anyone who claims that Allah has a volume blasphemes by that. لأن مثل هذا لا يكون عارفا بالله إنما هو شاتم لله. Because such a person does not have the proper knowledge about Allah Ta'ala. Thus he is not able, he cannot worship Allah. Rather, he is cursing Allah by that. لأنه جعل الله ذا كمية وحجم وكلا الأمرين الكمية والحجم مما يوجب الحدوث. Because such a person would be attributing volume and quantity to Allah. Quantity and volume are signs that the one attributed with them is created. So as if this person is saying that Allah is created. This is why such a person blasphemes by that. وَهَلْ عَرَفْنَا أَنَّ الشَّمْسَ مَخْلُوقَةٌ مِنْ جِهَةِ الْعَقْلِ إِلَّا لِأَنَّ لَهَا حَجْمًا وَكَمِّيَّةٌ. Did we know by the judgment of the mind? Did we know that the sun is created except because the sun has a volume and a quantity? This is how we knew that the sun is created. فَلَوْ كَانَ اللَّهُ لَهُ حَجْمًا لَكَانَ مِثْلَ الشَّمْسِ فِي الْحَجْمِيَّةِ وَلَحْتَاجَ مِثْلَ الشَّمْسِ إِلَى خَالِقٍ. تعالى الله عن ذلك. Had Allah been attributed with a volume and quantity, He would be like the sun in that. And thus He would be like the sun in need for someone who created Him. And Allah is exalted from that. Allah is clear from that. لذلك لو طالب عابد الشمس هؤلاء المشبهة بدليل على بطلان دينه لما قدروا أن يعطوه دليلا. This is why if these people talk with a sun worshipper telling him your religion is wrong, and he asks them, he tells them, give me a proof that my religion is wrong, they would not be able to do that. They cannot. ماذا يقولون له? What would they say to him? يقولون قال الله تعالى لا تسجدوا للشمس ولا للقمر. Would they say Allah Ta'ala said لا تسجدوا للشمس ولا للقمر, do not prostrate to the sun nor to the moon? ويقول لهم أنا لا أؤمن بكتابكم, أريد دليلا. He would tell them, I do not believe in Al-Quran, in your book. I want a proof, أريد دليلا عقليا. Give me a mental proof that my religion is wrong. ماذا يقولون له? What would they tell him? بل هو يظهر عليهم. Rather, he would defeat them. يقول لهم أنا معبودي شكل جميل. He would tell them, the one that I worship, that is the sun, has a nice shape. نفعه كل واحد يرى. Everyone sees it. ونفعه يعم الكل. And it is beneficial for everyone. كل واحد يحس بنفعه. Everyone feels its benefit. للإنسان وللحيوان وللتراب وللهواء. For the human being, animals, for the earth, for the air. Everyone feels that. أما أنتم معبودكم الذي تزعمون أنه فوق العرش ما أحد رآه, لا أنتم ولا نحن. He would tell them, as for the one that you claim deserves to be worshipped, which you say it exists, above Al-Arsh. No one saw it. You didn't see it. We didn't see it. وَمَا أَحَدْ أَحَسَّ لَهُ بِمَنْفَعَةٍ. And no one felt its benefit. فَكَيْفَ يَكُونُ مَعْبُودِي لَا يَسْتَحِقُّ الْعِبَادَةِ وَمَعْبُودُكُمْ يَسْتَحِقُّ الْعِبَادَةِ. So how would the one that I worship, how it wouldn't deserve to be worshipped while yours deserve that? How's that? ماذا يقولون? What would they say? يقولون الشمس لها حجم ومقدار, إذن هي بحاجة لمن خصها بهذا الحجم ومنه المقدار. Would they say the sun has a volume, a quantity, then it needs someone to specify it with this volume and this quantity? يقول لهم ومعبودكم له حجم. He would tell them, and the one that you worship has a volume and a quantity. إذا كان معبودكم لا يحتاج إلى خالق فمعبودي لا يحتاج إلى خالق. إذا ادعيتم أن معبودكم لا يحتاج إلى خالق, إذن ما تستطيعون أن تقيموا علي الحجة أن معبودي يحتاج إلى خالق. And if you claim that the one that you worship does not need a creator, then you cannot prove to me that the one that I worship, that is the sun, is in need for a creator. What would they say? ماذا يقولون? ما عندهم كلام. They cannot say anything. لذلك بعض العلماء قال اعتقاد المشبهة أسوأ. اعتقاد هؤلاء المشبهة أسوأ من اعتقاد عابد الشمس. This is why some scholars said the belief of these people who claim that Allah exists above the throne is worse than the belief of the sun worshipper. أما السني سهل عليه أن يكسر عابد الشمس كما أنه سهل عليه أن يكسر الوهابي. As for a Sunni, it is easy for him to defeat the sun worshipper just as it is easy for him or her to defeat the Wahhabi. السني يقول إن شاء الله. At the end, I'll tell you a story. Inshallah, I will not forget. Because I'm saying it's easy. I'll tell you how easy it is. السني يقول لعابد الشمس, الشمس لها حد ومقدار. السني tells the sun worshipper, the sun has a shape, a volume, and a quantity. لماذا كانت على هذا الحد, على هذا الحجم, ليس أصغر ولا أكبر. Why is it on this? Why does it have this volume? Not smaller nor bigger. لماذا كانت على هذا الشكل الاستدارة دون غيره? Why it has this shape, the round shape, and not any other shape? لماذا كانت على هذه الصفة الحرارة دون البرودة? Why is it hot and not cold? هي خصت نفسها بذلك. لا يقبل العقل هذا. The mind, the sound mind, does not conceive, does not accept that it would be the one who specified itself with that. فلا بد أن هناك من خصها بذلك. So there is someone who specified it with that. وهذا الذي خصها بذلك لا يشبهها. And the one who specified it with that does not resemble it. ليس متصفا بحد ولا شكل ولا هيئة ولا مقدار. It is not attributed with space, with shape, volume, quantity or limits. فلا يحتاج لذلك إلى مخصص يخصصه بشيء منها. Thus, and this is why he does not need anyone to specify him with any of these things. فلا يحتاج إلى غيره وهو الله معبودي. So, he is not in need for anyone else, and this is Allah, the one that I worship. ماذا يقول عابد الشمس ينكسر. What would the sun worshipper say? He does not have a proof against that. أما المشبه فهو عاجز عن إقامة الحجة حتى على عابد الشمس, على فساد عقيدة عابد الشمس. As for the one who believes that Allah is above Al-Arsh, he is unable to produce a proof for the sun worshipper that his worship to the sun is invalid. مرة واحدة من أخواتنا كانت في مكان, في دكان قرب المصلى في فيلادلفيا. One of our sisters one time was in a store next to the Musalla in Philadelphia. ومعها بنتها الصغيرة. And she had her little daughter with her, 7-year-old or also something like that. كان واحد يتكلم, واحد مشبه يتكلم مع واحد سني هناك. In the store there were a person who likened Allah to the creation, talking with another person who was a Muslim. هذا المشبه كان يتكلم وذاك ساكت. This person who likened Allah to the creation was talking and the other one was silent. He didn't answer him. He didn't argue with him. So this little child told her mother like this. She's a little one. Are you going to refute this person or I will talk? قالت لأمها أنت تردين عليها وأنا أفعل. ثم ذاك الشخص رد عليه. Then that person refuted him. So she didn't have to interfere in the. لكن هذا بهذه الأمر بهذه السهولة. Just for you to know, it's so simple, very easy. لأننا أهل السنة أهل دليل وغيرنا أهل أوهام. Because we Ahl al-Sunnah, we have proofs. And those who do not comply, who do not have the same belief, they follow the illusions. فرق بين صاحب الدليل وصاحب الوهم. There is a big difference between the one who has the proofs, the solid proofs for what he says, and the one who follows the illusions. فلا يوجد فوق العرش شيء حي يسكنه. There is nothing alive that exists above العرش. إنما يوجد كتاب فوق العرش كما قلنا مكتوب فيه إن رحمتي سبقت غضبي. Rather, what exists above Al-Arsh is that tablet in which it is written إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي سَبَقَتْ غَضَبِي, the one that we mentioned before. وقال بعض العلماء إن اللوح المحفوظ أيضا فوق العرش. Some scholars also said that the guarded tablet is above العرش. بعضهم قال تحت العرش وبعضهم قال فوق العرش. Some of them said it is underneath Al-Arsh, and some said it is above Al-Arsh. لأن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام مروي عنه نص صريح في ذلك. Because it was not narrated an explicit hadith from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام whether the guarded tablet is above Al-Arsh or underneath it. فبعض الناس بعض العلماء استنبط من بعض النصوص أنه فوق العرش وبعضهم استنبط أنه تحت العرش. Some scholars deduced from certain texts that the guarded tablet is above Al-Arsh, and some deduced that it is underneath Al-Arsh. على القول بأنه فوق العرش أيضا الوهابي جعل اللوح المحفوظ عديلا لله والعياذ بالله. According to the saying that the guarded tablet is above the throne, if we go according to that saying, then the Wahhabi would be also as if he was saying, claiming that the guarded tablet has a status equal to the status of Allah. والعياذ بالله تعالى. وقد ورد أيضا في سنن النسائي حديث صحيح فيه أن الله تبارك وتعالى كتب في كتاب فهو عنده فوق العرش فهو موضوع فوق العرش كتب الكتاب قبل أن يخلق ربنا السماوات والأرض بألفي سنة ومن ذلك الكتاب وفي ذلك الكتاب آيتان هما آخر آيتين في سورة البقرة. Also it is narrated in Sunan An-Nasa'i that there is a tablet above Al-Arsh written 2000 years before the creation of the earth and the skies, in which there are, among what is written in it, are the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. كل هذا يدل على أن من زعم أن الله تبارك وتعالى فوق العرش فقد جعله إن الله تعالى موجود فوق العرش فقد جعله عديلا لغيره والعياذ بالله. All of that shows that anyone who claims that Allah تبارك وتعالى exists above العرش, then he would, as if he is saying that Allah has the same status as other than him. وفي هذا تشبيه لله بمخلوقاته. And of course, this entails likening Allah to the creation. لأنه جعل الله مشابها لهذا الكتاب. Because this person would be claiming that Allah تبارك وتعالى, as if this person would be claiming that Allah Ta'ala resembles this book, this tablet. وأحيانا يقول المشبه, إلى هنا واضح؟ Up till here, is it clear? وأحيانا يقول المشبه في بعض الأحاديث والآيات يوجد كلمة عند ربك, وهذا يدل على أن الله تعالى فوق. Sometimes the one who likens Allah to the creation says in certain hadith there is the term عند ربك. عند sometimes it means next to. Not always, sometimes. Next to. Sometimes they say, well, in the hadith it is mentioned, عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ فَهُوَ مَوْضُوعٌ عِنْدَهُ فَوْقَ الْعَرْشِ. Like in the narration about the book, the tablet, it says, فَهُوَ مَوْضُوعٌ عِنْدَهُ فَوْقَ الْعَرْشِ. It contains the term عِنْدَهُ. And they try to say, it means next to him. فَيَزْعُمُونَ هَذَا مَعْنَاهُ اللَّهُ فَوْقَ. They claim, they say, then this means that Allah exists above. يُقَالْ لَهُمْ عِنْدَ لَيْسَتْ فِي كُلِّ مَوْضِعْ تَكُونُ بِمَعْنَى الْمُجَاوَرَةِ. One would reply, the term عِنْدَ does not mean always next to. أَحْيَانًا تَكُونْ بِمَعْنَى الْمُجَاوَرَةِ وَأَحْيَانًا تَكُونْ بِغَيْرِ هَذَا. Sometimes it means next to. And some other times it means other things. كما قال ربنا تبارك وتعالى في سورة هود وأمطرنا عليهم حجارة من سجيل منضود مسومة عند ربك. هذه الآية تتحدث عن إمطار الحجارة على بعض الكفار الذين كانوا في الأمم السابقة. الله قال مسومة عند ربك، معناه الحجارة كانت بجنب الله، كان الملائكة يأخذونها من جنب الله فيلقونها على الكفار. لا. In the aforementioned verse from Surah Hud, it mentions certain blasphemers who were in the previous nations, and they were thrown with stones by the angels. And in the verse, the term عِنْدَ رَبِّك exists. So for sure it does not mean that the stones were gathered next to Allah and the angels used to take these stones from there and throwing them on these blasphemers. For sure. إذن لفظ عند لا يعني دائما المجاورة. So the term عند does not always mean next to. هنا معناه عند ربك معناه العلم بعلم ربك. الله عالم بذلك. In this text, it refers here to the knowledge of Allah تبارك وتعالى. That is, that happened with the knowledge of Allah تبارك وتعالى. وليس معناه أن الله كان في ذلك المكان. It does not mean that Allah existed there. وقال الله تعالى في سورة السجدة ولو ترى إذ المجرمين ناكسوا رؤوسهم عند ربهم. هذه الآية تتكلم عن حشر الكفار يوم القيامة الذي يكون على الأرض المبدلة وفيها عند ربهم. معناه أن الله يكون وقتها في الأرض المبدلة؟ لا حاشا. Also, the verse in سورة السجدة ولو ترى إذ المجرمون ناكسوا رؤوسهم عند ربهم. This verse talks about the blasphemers when they are going to be gathered on the changed earth on the day of judgment. It has the term عِنْدَ رَبِّك. Would anyone say because of that, this means that Allah Ta'ala is going to exist on earth on that day? No one says that. Even they do not say that. So, إذن كلمة عند ليست دائما بمعنى المجاورة. So, عند does not always mean next to. فلا يصح الاحتجاج بذلك الحديث ونحوه لإثبات أن الله فوق. So, it is not valid to take that hadith as a proof to say that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala exists in the upper direction. إلى هنا واضح. Up till here, is it clear? MashaAllah, in the last class yesterday and today it's getting hot. And I feel you a little bit. I felt yesterday that you were a little bit but I know you're okay, alhamdulillah. But less energetic. You're okay, aren't you?
Yes.
Barakallahu feekum. Tayyib. Nukmil izan. So let's continue then. وبعض الناس أيضا من المشبهة يفهم من بعض الأحاديث أن الله تبارك وتعالى أمامه. Some people also who liken Allah to the creation understand from certain hadith that Allah تعالى exists in front of one. جاء في الحديث الذي رواه البخاري في صحيحه أن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال إذا كان أحدكم في صلاته فإنه يناجي ربه فلا يبصقن في قبلته ولا عن يمينه فإن ربه بينه وبين قبلته. Al-Bukhari narrated in his book Al-Sahih that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا كَانَ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِ فَإِنَّهُ يُنَاجِي رَبَّهُ فَلَا يَبْصُقَنَّ فِي قِبْلَتِهِ وَلَا عَنْ يَمِينِهِ فَإِنَّ رَبَّهُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ قِبْلَتِهِ. هذا الحديث قد يفهم منه بعض الناس أن الله منحصر بين الإنسان وبين الكعبة أمامه من جهة الكعبة. Some people might misunderstand this hadith. So they might think that it means when one of you is praying, then he is doing a special type of worship to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. If he is in that situation, let him not spit in front of him nor to his right. Because they might understand from this hadith that it means because Allah is between him and al-Qibla, between him and the Kaaba. وَلَيْسَ هَذَا مَعْنَى الْحَدِيثِ. This is not what the hadith means. إِنَّمَا مَعْنَاهُ أَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ عِنْدَمَا يُصَلِّي وَيُنَاجِي رَبَّهُ تَنْزِلُ عَلَيْهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Rather, it means when one is doing the prayer, the mercy gets down to him. وَالرَّحْمَةُ تَنْزِلُ مِنْ قِبَلِ وَجْهِهِ. And the mercy gets down from the direction of his face. Is it understood? لذلك وهو في هذه الحال لا يليق به أن يبزق إذا أراد أن يبزق أمامه. This is why if he wants to spit in that situation, it wouldn't be appropriate to spit in front of him. لأن الرحمة تنزل بينه وبين قبلته رحمة ربه. Because the mercy of Allah goes down and it exists between him and al-qibla. هذا معنى الحديث. This is what the hadith means. ولا يجوز تفسيره بأن معناه أن الله يكون منحصرا بين الإنسان والكعبة. And it is not permissible to interpret this hadith that Allah would be between the person, the praying person and al-Kaaba. وعلى فكرة هذا الحديث أقوى إسنادا من حديث الجارية. And let me draw your attention here to something. This hadith is stronger than the hadith of the slave woman. من حيث الإسناد, as far as the chain of narrators is considered. فماذا يفعل الوهابية? So what would the Wahhabis do? إذا قالوا نأخذ بظاهر هذا الحديث, هذا يناقض اعتقادهم. If they say we go according to the apparent meaning of this hadith, that Allah exists between the person and al-Qibla, this would be against their belief, because they believe that Allah is above al-Arsh. إذن يقعون في التناقض. So they fall in contradiction. وإذا قالوا نؤوله, يقال إذن لما لا تؤولون حديث الجارية وهذا أقوى إسنادا من ذاك. And if they say we give this hadith a meaning, we infer a meaning to it other than the apparent meaning, then we tell them, why don't you do that with the hadith of the slave woman? Although this hadith is stronger than that hadith. لأنهم متحكمون لا يتبعون الدليل. Because they are people that do not follow the proofs. Rather they follow their own desires. Their own ill desires. يقال لهم أيضا البخاري أخرج عن أبي موسى الأشعري أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لما رأى بعض الصحابة يجهدون يرفعون أصواتهم كثيرا في الدعاء قال اربعوا على أنفسكم فإنكم لا تدعون أصم ولا غائبا. تمهلوا, لا تتعبوا أنفسكم برفع الصوت, أنتم لا تدعون أصم من لا يسمع, ولا تدعون غائبا لا يعلم بحالكم, إنما تدعون سميعا قريبا أقرب إلى أحدكم من عنق راحلته. على ظاهر, إذا أخذوا هذا الحديث على ظاهره, يكون الله تعالى عندهم منحصرا بين الإنسان وعنق الدابة التي يركب عليها. وهذا يناقض ما زعموه من معنى حديث الجارية. فإذا قالوا لا 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 هذا نؤوله, يقال لهم ولما لم تؤولوا حديث الجارية وهذا أقوى إسنادا. There is another hadith narrated in Al-Bukhari. One time the companions were coming back from a travel and they were making dua to Allah with a very loud voice. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام told them not to raise their voices so much so they don't get tired. And he told them, the one that you are asking is not deaf and knows about and is not ignorant about you, about your situation. He continued to say that you are making dua, you are asking the one who hears what you say and who knows you, who knows your situation. Then he said, أَقْرَبُ إِلَىٰ أَحَدِكُمْ مِنْ عُنُقِ رَاحِلَتِهِ. If someone translates it literally, one would say, Allah is closest to each one of you than the neck of the animal that you ride, that one rides. So the apparent meaning of this hadith would give that Allah is in between the person and the neck of the animal that this person rides. What the Prophet meant really, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is knowledgeable about you. Even He knows about you what you do not know about yourselves. This is what the Prophet meant. If the Wahhabis say, we want to go according to the apparent meanings in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then as if they are saying that Allah is in between the person and the neck of the animal that that person rode. If they say no, and this contradicts the belief, the other claim. If they say no, we infer another meaning to this hadith. Tell them, and why you don't do that with the hadith of Al-Jariya, the slave woman? Although this hadith is much stronger than that hadith. اربعوا على أنفسكم إذا قلت غير ذلك هو اربعوا الصحيح. يقال لهم هذا منكم تحكم بلا دليل. They would be addressed by saying you تحكم, I don't know how to say it in English. You do not follow the proofs. You just restrict whatever you want to whatever you want without any proof. You follow your own opinions without any proofs. فَصَارَ حَالُكُمْ كَحَالِ الْيَهُودِ الَّذِينَ وَصَفَهُمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي الْقُرْآنِ بِقَوْلِهِ أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. So now your situation is similar to the situation of the Jews that Allah told us about them in Al-Quran, in the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. That is, they believed in some of what Allah, in a part of what Allah revealed, and did not believe in the other part of what Allah revealed. So they chose, just by their own opinion, certain things that they said, we believe in these things, and they left out other things without following the proofs in that, rather following their own opinions. And this is exactly what these people who liken Allah to the creation do. The Jews claimed, or they believed in Musa alayhi salam. Then when Isa came, they did not believe in Isa alayhi salam. They chose. They didn't rely on the proofs. And these people are doing the same thing. Whichever hadith they want, they say, no, we don't infer meanings other than the apparent meanings to the hadith of the Prophet. Our creed is to take the hadith as is, and they understand with this term as is, they mean yani according to the apparent meaning. And suddenly, in some hadith that their apparent meaning do not comply with what they chose, they say, no, these hadiths, we infer meanings other than the apparent meanings to them. Okay, then, what happened to that rule that you claimed? That in the hadith of the Prophet, we don't infer meanings other than the apparent meaning. Where did it go? Because really, they do not follow the proofs. They follow their own opinions. Yes, pick and choose. This is how they act. كذلك يقال له ماذا تقول في قول الله تعالى في سورة البقرة فأينما تولوا فثم وجه الله إذا أخذت بالظاهر فكأنك تقول في أي جهة اتجهت الله يكون هناك فتكون زعمت أن الله محيط بالعالم بالذات وإذا قلت نؤول أنت رفضت أن تؤول حديثا بدرجة حديث الجارية والآن آية من القرآن تؤولها وتترك الظاهر فيها ما هذا هذا تحكم. We also tell such person, what do you do with the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah فأينما تولوا فثم وجه الله. If you want to interpret it according to the apparent meaning, then you would be saying, wherever you go in any direction, Allah is there in that direction, exists in that direction. So according to the apparent meaning, if you want to follow the apparent meaning, you would be saying that Allah encompasses the world from all directions. And this contradicts your claim that Allah is above Al-Arsh. Now if you say, no, I infer a meaning other than the apparent meaning to this verse, one would address you by saying, wow, this is a verse from Al-Quran, not only a hadith, a verse from Al-Quran. And you infer a meaning other than the apparent meaning to it, just so you keep your own belief, which is not based on any proof, and you refuse to give, to infer a meaning other than the apparent one to a hadith that has the level and the status of hadith al-Jariya. This is very strange. This is only following the opinions and not the proofs. وهذه الآية معناها المسافر الذي يريد أن يصلي النافلة وهو راكب على الدابة في السفر له أن يتوجه إلى أي جهة اتجهت إليها دابته فثم وجه الله أي قبلة الله. Now this verse means that the one who is riding an animal while he is traveling, if he wants to pray an optional prayer, it is permitted for him to face the direction of his travel. This would be his qibla. So wajhullah in this verse means qiblatullah. بعض الوهابية من عنادهم قال مقالة عجيبة. One of the Wahhabis, because they are so stubborn, they said something strange. لَمَّا وُجِهُوا بِهَذَا, when they were faced with this, with these statements, قَالُوا Allah يُحِيط بِالْعَالَمِ نَعْمْ كَمَا تُحِيطُ الْيَدْ بِمَا فِيهَا إِذَا قَبَضَتْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. They said, yes, Allah Ta'ala encompasses the world just like the hand surrounds what it holds in it. وَهُوَ فَوْقَ الْعَرْشِ أَيْضًا. And He is above the throne. They said, we take this according to the apparent meaning and this according to the apparent meaning. قَالُوا هَذَا نَحْمِلُهُ عَلَى الظَّاهِرِ وَهَذَا نَحْمِلُهُ عَلَى الظَّاهِرِ. مِثْلُ هَذَا مَجْنُونَ أَيْشْ تُكَلِّمُهُ بَعْدَ هَذَا. Someone like such person is a crazy person. What would you tell him after that? How can you communicate with such a person after that? خلاص. الله يرحمنا. الله يرحمنا. نكتفي بهذا اليوم. Let us stop here for now. والله تعالى أعلم. Allah knows best. إذا كان أحد له سؤال تفضل. أي تفضل حاج. في سورة السجدة المجرمون الكفار يوم القيامة يحشرون على الأرض المبدلة ويكونون ناكسي رؤوسهم, يكونون في حال الذل, لكن فيها عند ربهم. هل معناه أن الله تبارك وتعالى يكون على الأرض المبدلة في ذلك اليوم؟ ليس هذا معناه. فليس كل شيء كل مرة جاء لفظ عند معناه للمجاورة. لا, ليس هكذا. وفيك. طيب ما شاء الله. اتفضل يحيى. Yes, I can remind you. Okay. Where Abu Salah is not here. Is Lubaba around? Well, basically that if anyone wants to give something more specific than what I'm saying, he or she is welcome. Talking with knowledge about this. Basically, there are different types of alcohol, and not all of them are intoxicating. Some types are intoxicating, some are not. The types that have the base as methanol, ethanol and methanol. The types that have these two matters as the base, they are intoxicating. And the other types of alcohol are not. Huh? لبابة اللي بي مثل الكحول اللي هن ميثانول وإيثانول are the intoxicating ones. You forgot what did Bassam say? He knows. من هو؟ Okay, ethanol, not the methanol. So what has the base of ethanol is intoxicating. Okay, this is... Shuya, Dr. Wissam. Okay, it seems even they don't have one opinion about it. Anyway, I don't want to go into that. What I want to say that not all of them... Be aware of this. Not all the types of what they call alcohol nowadays are intoxicating. Some are not. This does not mean they don't harm you if you drink them. No, it doesn't mean that. But we are talking about, do they intoxicate or not? So some are not. Those who are intoxicating, regardless of their origin, whether they are taken from raisins, from grapes or not, if they intoxicate, then they are najas filthy. They are najasa. Once they become intoxicating, then they become najasa. Okay? This is the rule in this issue. Tfaddal.
Now, because the price of gas is beginning to get very high, some gas stations put ethanol into the gas. Are we permitted to buy this gas?
Okay, now you are dragging me somewhere that I don't want to go now. Barakallahu feekum. Naam. طيب. كما قلت يعني يعرف. أهل الخبرة يعرفون عن جد مثل ما عم أقول لك أهل الخبرة يعرفون نعم what is not intoxicating is not najas filthy even if they call it alcohol تفضل دكتور في رواية أنها كانت خمسة لكن ضعيفة بارك الله فيكم نهلل لا لحظة نعم I did that was the story of the little girl I did my stories are short طيب
السلام عليكم اليوم 28 من رجب is the 28th of Rajab the night of Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj is the 27th night of Rajab so it passed us two nights ago but inshallah tonight we will meet here after Salat al-Maghrib and celebrate the occasion inshallah properly of course if there are Wahhabi who don't like it let them die
طيب نهلل لو سمحتم لا إله إلا الله